Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Ka-Chava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka-Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just 2 scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at Ka-Chava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's Ka-Chava, Ka-Chava.com, code FITNESS. From walking barefoot in the snow to hiking for miles for a view, it feels good to connect with our simpler side. Simplifying your wellness with Ka-Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake feels good too. With 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and more. No fillers, no nonsense, just the highest quality ingredients. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st when they go to Ka-Chava, Ka-Chava.com, and use code FITNESS.
You're tuned into SEC Sunday Night, part of the Chief Sports Network.
Grab your drink, grab your cup. It's time to talk ball. Welcome to SEC Sunday Night. I am Rob Williams. He is Craig McMichael. We, of course, have Casey Cregan with us. We're shaking up the order tonight, ladies and gents. Casey is here on the front end. Before we get to that, I'll let you know that we are proudly presented by Hewitt Domodiros Law, HDLawSC.com. Tens of millions of dollars have been won for clients by Brad and Dean. And if you want an experience where you're cared about, where you are family, where you're a real person, where you're not just a number in a stack, where every detail about your case is going to matter, then you come here to SEC Sunday Night and also go to Hewitt Domodiros Law, HDLawSC.com. They are on your team. All right, boys, we have made it to the college football playoff season. Let's throw it back, though, just a little bit. 2 years ago, Craig and I decided to start a little podcast, and out of it, what we see today has blossomed. But one of the core things that we always discussed was what was in our cup as we got going. And a lot of times in those days, it was early in the morning, and it was a hot cup of coffee. Maybe you like a little nightcap coffee, maybe something else. What you guys sipping on? What's wetting the whistle tonight on SEC Sunday Night? Looks like some ice cold, maybe some room temp H2O for Casey.
It's room temp. Yep.
Yep.
I like room temp.
I have my Square Books coffee cup in honor of Lane Kiffin.
You're not petty at all.
Not petty at all. Pinkies up. By the way, get House of Smokes, John T. Edge's new book. It is a phenomenal read. It's a great guest.
Sure, John T. Edge.
Yep. Great that. We have water right now. We did the dark roast from Starbucks because we had back-to-back. We had a play date to build gingerbread houses, which was great. We just went with a flat roof. We tried to do like the triangle roof today. That did not work. So I was, needed a coffee after that. And we went to a birthday party and then quickly scarfed my dinner before the show. So we just have water right now, but definitely needed some coffee about 2-3 hours ago.
I'm going to pick this up.
McMichaels are always on the move. Always.
It's always something. I'm drinking a zero sugar cherry cream Pepsi, and it is delicious.
Absolutely. Is very granola right there. That is like cherry cream. I will say like
wild cherry and cream, zero sugar Pepsi.
I'm a huge fan of that.
It is so good.
All right, so I have a question for y'all. If you go out to the restaurant and you ask for a Coke and they say, we got Pepsi, do you go with the Pepsi?
If I go to the restaurant and I'm asking for the Pepsi and they say, if we have Coke, then I have to reconsider.
Casey?
I don't really drink soda, so it doesn't matter. I don't think hypothetically, we are on the SEC Sunday night. So hypothetically, wouldn't matter to me.
So I have a question. How does your granola Northern Yankee on this podcast go with Coke first and only Coke, where my Southern friend from South Carolina is going Pepsi? Help me out here, Rob. Explain this one to me, please.
Rob hates Atlanta.
I don't know what to tell you, but I just, it's going to be the Pepsi for me. I was raised on Pepsi. We're gonna stick to it, my friend.
Hit us up in the chat, Coke or Pepsi, and why is Pepsi not the right answer?
Well, last week we talked eggnog in the chat, and I've had friends of the show all week still commenting about my love for eggnog. So I gave you guys the night off, and I'm not drinking any eggnog. We're going with wild cherry and cream, zero sugar Pepsi. So if I have haters are my motivator. No, I did the Southern Comfort vanilla spice.
Oh, real eggnog. Gotcha.
Yeah. I can do any eggnog is fine, but that vanilla spice is a nice little flavor.
Do you like your egg like curdled? Like when you go to drink it, or like how does it exactly work?
It's not curdled. That is not what it is. It's not what it is.
I thought nog was another word for curdled is what I was thinking. So,
all right, are we ready for some boards here?
Can I be honest? I love actually bantering like this and not being like, oh my God, can you believe who got fired? Obviously, we haven't talked about what happened in Ann Arbor this week, but I'm sure we'll get there.
Well, everybody.
We can touch on it. We can touch on it, but at least it's not a
watch it.
But it's not in our jurisdiction. It's not in the SEC. All right, let's move on to boards. Casey, take it away.
Sure. We're going to start this week with Tennessee. MPG says Tennessee's about to win so many national championships because of our friend Blinghampton Vol. He says national championship loading. We win it all in the next 3 years. Hype has shown he's willing to make the right choices to put us on top. Trading Banks for Knowles is like signing 10 5-stars on D. He's going to pull hider after the problems at Michigan. That running back with our O is going to be unstoppable. And now Knowles will have the D rolling as well. This year's recruiting class will leave Knox with one, maybe two rings. This had LeBron James vibes to me. One, not two, not three, not four. So Tennessee, national champs within the next year.
That's a lot of confidence out of Knoxville.
That's a lot of
confidence.
Over how at DC did, how
had the worst defense in the league. I mean, I
were
guess.
You shocked me, Sean? Were you shocked me? Right. Were you shocked when you saw Banks got let go? Like I felt like that was the narrative last year, right? Was of how good of a job Banks did. But I guess the defense was just terrible this year as I was set straight.
Clemson wanted him bad last year. It was they got Tom Allen, but the fans were pining for Banks.
Yeah.
And here's the thing too, Craig, that we have to keep in mind. This is your point. This has become such a trigger-happy society where we're firing people left and right. And if things don't go well immediately, in the recency bias is very, very strong.
Yeah.
There's with this national championship loading, there's not anybody thinking about what happened last year with Tim Banks. They were concerned about what happened right now. It's time to move on so that they can get a national championship defense in there with Jim Knowles.
How did Penn State's defense look this year with Jim Knowles? Just curious.
All righty.
I mean, you want out after year one. Well, I know his boss got fired, but
yeah. That's me being okay. Mean.
All right. I would just like to say before we read this one that Craig picked all of the boards this week, not me. However, he also commented to me on X when I was tweeting about Jeremiah Love not having a good look on SportsCenter when they asked him about the college football playoff, Craig replied and said that I need to let it go. And then 24 hours later, sent in a Notre Dame board. All right, go ahead. Sorry, I just need to preface it with that.
Well, I don't know if anybody out there, if we had some crossover, some cross-contamination between your show and the Message Board Geniuses podcast, but I went on a little bit of a rant this week about my absolute adoration of Notre Dame. So only the opposite. But this Notre Dame fan, MBG, says, isn't going to watch the fake playoffs. UND 67. Is that 6-7, Rob?
Anybody going to watch? Indeed. Everybody gets a moment right here. 6-7.
Anybody going to watch the fake playoffs? He says, I'm not. Totally refuse to give ESPN one single more viewer. This ain't an airport. You don't need to announce your departure, Notre Dame fan.
He went to Notre Dame College, not Notre Dame University, with one single more viewer.
Yep.
Poor Notre Dame. Gosh, they should be. Can you imagine an Oregon Notre Dame matchup Saturday night, 7:30?
It would be, but you know, this is the way the cookie crumbles, and their sour grapes. In this form, it's not just this one poster. This is a lot of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
The fan base. South Carolina, not to be a South Carolina guy, this didn't come from me. I saw this stuff from Clay Travis, and he got it from Nielsen. So I'm just using this. I'm just quoting the tweet. South Carolina averaged more viewers per game than Notre Dame this year. So does Notre Dame's lack of watching the playoff really make a dent in ESPN's money line, bottom line? I think not.
Don't tell them that, Rob.
What was that? What was that number? That Friday night number, though. That Friday night number was probably one of the. If we would have done some research, we could have looked at what was that Friday night number versus Saturday, for when they played Indiana last year to open up the playoff.
Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Ka-Chava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka-Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just 2 scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at Ka-Chava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's Ka-Chava, Ka-Chava.com, code FITNESS.
Rubbing off on y'all.
I know. I will call bananas on the idea that all of these athletic directors are suddenly going to boycott Notre Dame. Oh, we're not going to schedule them because they have the mandate that if they're in the top 12, they're going to make the playoff. Sorry, it's still Notre Dame. And yes, Clay, you do have your thing with South Carolina being more viewable. ESPN wants it. The college and universities want it. They either want to go to South Bend or they want Notre Dame there. So, listen, here's the benefit of playing in South Bend, and I'm talking to you, Palk. Those fans are kind of like, you just can pay them for their tickets. When Georgia went there a few years ago, half of Notre Dame Stadium was all red. So, they're just scalping anyway. So maybe Notre Dame's not even real fans.
That's the point that I think half of what you said I agree with and half I disagree with. I agree that you can scalp.
Talk about the good stuff.
I can agree that you can scalp their tickets. I disagree. And Joy went there this year, and she didn't have the best things to say about the environment just in general. And that was one of her 14 stops. There was 2 stops this year, Iowa and Penn State, that were not SEC. Actually, I take that back. She also went to Georgia Tech. So
She went to Ohio State. We won.
SEC stops. Yep. But comparing it, kind of lining it up, yeah, I wasn't counting that. You're right. She did go to Ohio State, but I was thinking SEC opponent.
Got it.
She went to 3 games that had no SEC teams. And she just didn't have a great thing to say about Notre Dame. So that's I don't know. We can call bias or whatever we want to say. But I disagree with the ADs not freezing them out. I don't think everybody will freeze them out. But I think we could see something like 75%. Try to freeze them out.
Tag cut in this, because ain't no athletic director freezing out Notre Dame. Everybody will play them. Clemson's going to play. They just signed a big long contract with Clemson. I guarantee you they're going to make their rounds. They're going to be playing at Texas. They're going to be playing Bama. All that good stuff. So
on to the next.
There we go. Who is this one? Is this another Irish Illustrated? It is. The SEC, MBG says the SEC would never agree to a scheduling arrangement with Notre Dame as it would expose them for the frauds that they are. I don't know who this is, but it says never agree to this. I don't know. I would never agree to this as it would expose the conference for the frauds that they are. There is a reason the SEC all plays FCS schools every year. I should have taken that one.
What do we think, Craig? I mean, you submitted two Notre Dame boards, so I think you should offer your expertise since we are hyper focused, even though you told me to let it go.
I'm just saying that when Notre Dame gets out of their contract with the ACC, the Big Ten or the SEC will enter right in and give them their five games they're looking for, because it just makes sense.
Do we think they will not be? Go ahead.
But I obviously they're not going to make the conference frauds unless they play Arkansas again.
Do we think that there's any motivation for them to, I don't know, get into a conference at this point? Did this push the narrative at all? I think not, only because they got the guarantee from the committee. They got it in writing. Yep. If they hadn't gotten that, I think there would have been a little more friction.
And the TV rights. I mean, it's that simple. You know, it's the TV rights. They have the NBC contract. There's no need for them to fully join a conference for football. It was smart of them to join a conference for the Olympic sports, no question. But for football, there's no need, regardless of all the people. Every time anything Notre Dame happens, that's the first thing. Join a conference, and it won't happen. Win your conference, and it won't happen. There's no reason for them to.
Yep. I agree. Okay, are we done with them? Can we move on to something that's
Please,
not?
For the
thank
love
you.
Of Pete.
My goodness.
Oh, Joy wrote a board.
AUS Aus Tiger. MBG says the LSU fan thinks it would be nice if Lane Kiffin would announce that he isn't going anywhere. Tiger rant, it would be very nice if Kiffin proactively declared he is not a candidate anywhere else. He got there a minute and a half ago. This guy says, maybe wishful thinking, but that would help him rebuild some trust with the Pearl Clutchers, who had a problem with him a few weeks ago.
The Pearl Clutchers in Oxford? Were there Pearl are there Pearl Clutchers in Baton Rouge?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess there must be. Are they pearls, though? Did they freshly catch them in the bayou?
They might have caught them in the bayou. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, like, let's be honest. Lane's not going to go anywhere. I know we're going to talk about Kalen DeBoer. His name is circulating with Alabama.
We're going to get there.
Yeah. My question is, where is Lane's move in college football? I think he's probably – would Alabama take him? I don't know. I don't know if they would put up with the antics.
And we had Charlie Potter from On Three Alabama Bama Online on our show last week, and he definitely made it seem, and I would I'm not putting words in his mouth, that Lane wasn't exactly the most liked person in Tuscaloosa already. Now, granted, if you're the head coach, maybe you know, and he wins at LSU, maybe then they have a change of heart, but. It didn't feel like, from me, the subtext that Charlie was putting down, that Lane would necessarily be welcome there.
Here's the other thing. Winning at LSU makes you an enemy of Alabama, even more so than he already is. Because if he's really winning at LSU, that means he's beating the Tide. Because that's a matchup that we're going to see on a regular basis, and they're in close proximity. They already don't like each other. They already have the Saban issue. They already have a rivalry as it stands. So if he has success, I don't see it benefiting his name in Tuscaloosa. But you're right. Becoming a head coach can change things.
Miss Terry, now that changes if Miss Terry's on the reference sheet.
That's true. That's a good point.
Okay.
She's the first reference.
All right. We have one more, and then we have an actual statement.
Do employers actually talk to references? All right. MBG says the Big Ten schools need to demand championship bans and postseason restrictions for Michigan. This comes to us from Bucknuts, an Ohio State board, and our friend Legal Alien says they ran an illegal sign-stealing operation, destroyed evidence, suspended a head coach, then elevated another one who was fired and charged with felony home invasion plus stalking and breaking and entering because low character keeps getting rewarded in that program. Meanwhile, Ohio State had 12 games wiped away over a tattoo scandal with zero competitive advantage. The Big Ten has to step in and impose real sanctions now, and member institutions should be demanding championship bans and postseason restrictions. And honestly, if the conference can't control Michigan or hold them accountable, it's fair to ask why they should be in the league at all. Protecting this isn't integrity, it's enabling. So is the Big Ten enabling Michigan?
Absolutely.
Because, you know, nothing ever bad happened at Ohio State.
Mm-mm. No, they were with Notre Dame probably visiting touchdown Jesus. But you do look at it, and I think like so. This is why I brought this board up. Michigan has an institutional control problem. Like if you look at it, basketball is number one in the country. Hockey is number one. Yes, football won a national championship. But what was the cost? And, you know, this is me growing up 30 minutes from the Big House most of my life, everybody a big Michigan fan around us. We always heard about that Michigan was different, that Michigan was something more and was something bigger. And it seems like that ideal, Michigan, sold their soul in 2020 to basically do whatever they could to be competitive. And now you have everything, you know, and now basically all the turkeys are coming home to roost. I want to know from you guys, does Ward Manuel survive all of this, or is it probably time for them to find yet another Michigan man?
I don't know that that's going to be the case. I don't totally disagree with you in as it pertains to Ward Manuel, but, I mean, what we have gathered – and mining your intel this week and asking some questions up in that area is that it doesn't look that way as of right now. There are question marks for me, though, as some speculation surrounding this current situation with Sharon Moore is that there was knowledge of a request for mental health assistance, and then the way that the firing was gone about did not really match that request.
Right, they're doing an investigation, like a third party investigation, because obviously the internal investigation led to where we are today. But if the third party says institutional control issue, Ward Manuel doesn't have a choice. The president's going to have to make a move.
True. Okay. Call me skeptical.
And that was the thing, right? Like we've seen reports out there that when Ward fired Sharon Moore, that it was just him and Moore in the room. There was no HR. There's no security.
Yep.
It's like,
yep.
You know, and again, it's like you're flying pretty high to the sun. Bo Schembechler is revered. He's thought of as, you know, very highly on the Michigan campus, and he has his own controversy. And this is where that idea of the Michigan man comes from. And you almost wonder, like, the only time they've really broken away from that Michigan man was Rich Rodriguez. And basically, the big blue wall, I think sabotage. Rodriguez had his own challenges.
Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Ka-Chava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka-Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just 2 scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at Ka-Chava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's Ka-Chava, Ka-Chava.com, code FITNESS.
He had his own problems, but I don't really feel that Rodriguez ever got the full administration support So you have to, you have to wonder and you have to think, is it time to break away from the 1970s and the 1980s and Bo Schembechler
and that point,
to move on?
We have seen a resurgence of returning head coaches. Is there a chance that we see Rich Rod get round two in Ann Arbor, or maybe just come, maybe they hire a defensive guy and he comes back as the OC? That's the new trend, right? Isn't that what we're doing everywhere?
Yeah, he's in West Virginia, and I think he's got his hands full there.
Okay, cool. Speaking of Michigan and head coaching moves, we have some boards that we've been over, and obviously that's a little tongue in cheek, and we understand that we want to give a nod to all of the glory of the fandom and the passion that is in the SEC. But here's an actual statement, Casey, if you don't mind reading this one for us as well.
Sure.
It'll be easy for you. This is a statement released by Kalen DeBoer today. In all seriousness, this is not a joke, as he has seemingly removed his name from contention in any other job search.
Kalen DeBoer says, "My family and I are very happy in Tuscaloosa and remain extremely grateful for the support of President Moeller, Greg Byrne, the board, and so many others. We have an incredible opportunity in front of us, so my sole focus is on Alabama football and our preparations to play Oklahoma in the college football playoff. I have not spoken and have no interest in speaking with anyone else about any other job. I am fully committed to this program and look forward to continuing as the head football coach at the University of Alabama."
So does that mean he's going to the NFL if Alabama loses next Saturday?
He's gone. He's going to be the new Jets head coach. It's a lose-lose. Isn't it a lose-lose when they have to put out a statement like this? Because, if some NFL team comes with $18 million a year, like, I'm sorry, you're going to go.
Yep, you're going to go. I think it
That's
does
probably
show...
just in response to Michigan, though, right?
Yep.
I think Kenny Dillingham, I think, was close with that. Like, I think he was rumored. And he's getting a new pay raise. Moved practice up a little bit. Said he wanted to work on his basketball game, but I think he was making sure he was getting paid. His staff was getting paid. It was funny. I was poking at Maggie Johnson earlier tonight on Twitter because Eli Drinkwitz, his name came up for the Michigan job.
Love that look, to be honest. I think he needs more looks. I think he should have gotten a more serious look at Penn State. The question for me is Maggie right? Like, is there some level of he likes it in Como? Because I don't think that he interviews poorly, and I think his resume on the field speaks for itself. So if we don't see him connected to this job a little more strongly, I'm going to start to believe that maybe he's holding out for something big in the SEC, or he's just really happy where he's at.
But like, I think it's also too, like what we talked about with Lane Kiffin. Kiffin's shtick works when you are a client, right? Like you're the underdog because you've got that chip on your shoulder. You lose that chip at LSU the same way that I think Eli loses that chip at Michigan, where you kind of become like, but Lane is now, right? Lane is not the funny guy on Twitter anymore. Lane has become Darth Vader, right? He's become like, oh, no one can stand him now because he's at that higher level. And I wonder if that would be for the same for Eli. I think Jed Fish, he just wrapped up his season last night at the LA Bowl with, I think there was 10 people there. I think that they said, I think that's the name probably to take a look at Michigan.
That guy's been rumored to go everywhere, and he only stays for a couple of years at each place.
He's like an NFL guy, right? You just keep and go. Like I think he like always just has a bag ready.
Rich Bisaccia.
Yeah, but the thing is,
look up the name Rich Bisaccia and look up his resume.
I don't know Bisaccia. There a Q in it?
Do we have time to read his resume? I think the thing about Fish, is that he's been successful at those stops, though. So he's been able to elevate programs, and so teams are going to think if we can keep bring him up a rung. And to be fair, let's look at the trajectory of how this would go. If we go from Arizona to Washington, do we agree that's a vertical move? Slightly, but a vertical mm-hmm. move. Mm-hmm. And then you go Washington to Michigan, another tier up. It's stereotype climbing the ladder.
Is Washington that bad of a job? Where they're like, are they kind of like in that Oregon stand right now? Where they need someone to kind of flex, kind of like with what landing's done. Because Oregon was in this spot for a while, right? Like that was always like the stepping stone, that last, that almost was like finishing school. Has Washington become finishing school for Kalen DeBoer in Alabama, possibly Jed Fish in Michigan? Like, what is it going to take for Washington? Because to me, it seems like environment, crowd, I think they've got a decent enough history. I don't think they're like, you know, super excellent, but I feel like they should be there.
It's a great town, a great stadium.
Well, the problem is that you're B tier.
Love that place.
You're B tier, and it's the same issue that it just happened to Ole Miss. You know, you said that. Like, we're going to get to that in just a minute. But when you're in a certain slot, when the bigger program's called, then they're going to get you. It's 8:27 here on SEC Sunday Night. Casey, thanks so much for bringing the boards for us tonight, my friend. We are going to jump to our first break, and we'll be back in just a moment on SEC Sunday Night with the SEC Pretty Guest Line with a brand new guest for you guys. And then we're going to pick some games. We'll be right back.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt Diamandouros Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers. When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt Diamandouros Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt Diamandouros, we're on your team.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
At TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, we believe true health and peak performance start with personalized care. Whether you're an athlete, recovering from injury, or just chasing your next personal best, we're here to guide your journey. With expert coaching, hands-on therapy, and transparent cash-based pricing, you get the care you need without the insurance red tape. One client drove 100 miles just to see us and said it was worth every mile. Contact us at trifitperformance.com or 803-353-5619. TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, where recovery meets results.
Yo, what's up?
This is SEC Sunday Night, part of the Chief Sports Network.
Welcome back to SEC Sunday Night, live on the Chief Sports Network. That was It Just Means More Genius, brought to you by Message Board Genius and the MBG podcast, hosted, as always, by our friend Casey Cregan. I'm Rob Williams. He is Craig McMichael, and we're here with you every Sunday night on the Chief Sports Network. We're also, in addition to X and YouTube, where you may be watching, we are on podcast as well. So remember to subscribe and to like and to review that. And now, continuing the theme of SEC Pretty, we don't have Joy with us tonight. The season is over, and until next week, the regular season is over. We'll have her back on site, but the name still carries on as the SEC Pretty is bringing you our guest line. And as I said before, a brand new guest with us tonight, an old friend from It Just Means More Football and Coffee, now with us on SEC Sunday night.
Hey, how are you guys?
What's up, Alex? How are you, sir?
Making it. Thank you guys for having me. Pretty stoked to be on tonight. Just ready to talk some Lane Kiffin.
So the last time we were talking, you were in the House of the Rising Sun. Now you are back over here with us. I want to just say Alex is one of my dearest friends. We had a couple of cold beverages this summer, enjoyed our time together. He has a Substack. Alex is what some have called a young Wright Thompson. He has talked about his travels, especially in Southeast Asia. So we will make sure to share that out there. But Alex, my friend, Ole Miss Rebel that you are, we start with one question, Coke or Pepsi?
Out of all the questions I was expecting, it was...
Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Ka'Chava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just 2 scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at ka'chava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's ka'chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code FITNESS.
That one.
And that's why.
I've been on a crazy Diet Coke kick lately. But I think above all that, Dr. Pepper or Mr. Pibb, which is making a comeback now.
Where is it Mr. Pibb making? Mr. Pibb is not making a comeback anywhere. Please. Pibb is not in Fanville. Stop it.
We have Mr. Pibb all over San Diego right now. Pibb Zero Sugar. I'm a big fan of it. So I'm back on kind of the soda train. So it's a problem.
Look at this guy. Zero Sugar, Mr. Pibb, Diet Coke. Pinkies are up. I do have to say one quick thing before we get going. I say to our friend Nash Graham, 1384, Pepsi and Coke were both founded in the South, Craig. That may be true, sir, but when the waitress asks you, what kind of Coke do you want? It's not Pepsi. Anyway, moving on. Good to have you, my friend. I want to see, how are you holding up? There's been some turmoil in Oxford, and you were there. You were there with brother Hugh, so you're not, you were used to some of that turmoil. How are you handling the Lane Kiffin exit and the unveiling of the Pete Golding era?
I'm holding up, but the Lane Kiffin exit, you can't hide from it. It hurt deep, you know. I'm behaving better, I think, than I would have a couple years ago. Big shout out to my girlfriend for keeping me grounded with stuff like this, reminding me that I don't need to ruin my Saturday every week if Ole Miss plays bad. But it's been tough. It's a tough breakup. Definitely. It was, 90% of the time he was there, it was a good relationship. Both parties were meeting each other's expectations. There was winning. There was money. It was a good show in Oxford, and it ruffled a lot of feathers. So people don't love to see a good Ole Miss team. And this past couple weeks have been tough, but I'm optimistic for the Pete Golding era. I think he's closer to a Mississippi man than Lane Kiffin ever could be. He's got that Delta State, that Southern Miss background. I think that's exactly what we need right now in Oxford, Mississippi.
Alex, I have to appreciate you saying that he's close to a Mississippi man, because the message boards that we had last week said that he needed a haircut and a shave because he did not look like a Mississippi man. So, we get a good chuckle out of the boards every week. So thanks for bringing us a more correct perspective from someone who has roamed the streets in Oxford.
Oh yeah. I mean, Pete Golding, if he's not coaching, well, he'll be coaching next season, but like in his free time, I think he could rush KA. He's like one barber jacket away from actually probably running for Mr. Ole Miss in the fall. So I think he's closer to a Mississippi man than anyone ever could be.
So what do you think? So what does that edge look like? So, next Saturday, Ole Miss and Tulane will kick it off. Last time these two teams played, Ole Miss won by 34 points. I believe it was 34-0, give or take a few points. What are we expecting from a Golding Ole Miss team that maybe we didn't see from old Laney boy?
I expect it to kind of come out with everything that's going on. I'm expecting kind of a ferocious start. I think everyone's going to have that chip on their shoulder. I was sitting in the green room. You guys were talking about Lane losing that chip on his shoulder at LSU. And I think it encapsulates that entire team, the current Ole Miss team, with going out there and wanting to prove people wrong. There were a lot of people that were like, Ole Miss, you know, where do they shake out with the new playoff rankings with the Lane Kiffin departure? And I think for a lot of guys, that's unfair to those guys. It's unfair to the Ole Miss fans. It's just unfair to college football as a whole to be holding, you know, one guy's decisions against how many scholarship guys, like 64 guys dressing, we'll call it, for Saturday. So I think they're going to come out with a chip on their shoulder. It's going to be a ferocious start, and I hope we can hold that. I hope things can get figured out. We haven't seen a Pete Golding, you know, head coach scenario. So let's just hope it's good football. You know, you gotta run.
You wanted to be more colorful with your language, didn't you? You wanted to be a little more colorful with your language, and you were behaving yourself. See that's what a girlfriend does for you.
I'm growing. I swear. Maybe I'll come off the rock a little bit towards the end, but yeah, right now we just need positive yardage, and you just got to make. I know it sounds silly, but positive yardage and just make a stop here or there. I know
it sounds Austin Simmons in goal line situations.
I don't hate it. I really don't hate it. I think use Austin Simmons more. I know there's some times where I'll even turn my back on Chambliss. But no, I just keep it calm, level headed. I think just positive yards, and we should be okay.
Alex, this is completely speculation on my part. Nothing confirmed. I just want to say that for anybody listening, so before we get something posted on the message board.
Inside information.
But how would you feel if Austin Simmons also took a plane over to the Bayou and jumped into the transfer portal to join Lane Kiffin and LSU?
Anybody, I can go old school on the transfer portal and say like terrible things about the NIL. I do think it kind of can hurt the game, but I don't. There's always going to be someone to fill that role, that next man up mentality. You jump ship to LSU, and we can't keep you here in Oxford, but there's always going to be a quarterback that's, you know, going to jump ship from wherever. And, you know, next, you know, he's got that starting role at Ole Miss. It's if there's one thing the NIL in this kind of current state of college football has proven is these gaps aren't there for long. And we're even seeing, you know, gaps from guys like Trinidad Chambliss coming up from D2. So I think that playing field, there's never going to be an open slot for long, even if guys want to jump ship and go elsewhere.
Shout out to the Fair State Bulldogs, where Trinidad Chambliss came from. Absolutely hammered. Who was the team from South Carolina, Robert?
Newberry.
Newberry
this
had
is about
to go
30 up. Minutes from where I'm sitting right now.
Yeah, Newberry had to go up to Big Rapids, Michigan, which is both Alex and I are from Michigan, about three hours north of where we were. In the cold and the snow, and those Carolina boys just weren't ready. And Ferris State absolutely hammered them. I think they were three more interceptions. I tell you, I know we were talking about Michigan earlier, and we're totally going off the rails here, which Rob's going to get very nervous about, Alex. So don't worry about going off the rails.
It's okay. We have 6 minutes until our next break, so you spend them however you would like to, Craig.
Oh,
and also
wow.
Hello to Craig Godwin over there in the chat, our good friend.
Nice.
Continue.
If Michigan is looking to zag when everyone else is zigging, Tony Anise, who has done an excellent job moving up from the high school ranks all the way up through the community college ranks, now the D2 ranks, I think he'd be a fantastic hire, a nice bridge gap to reset the culture, reset the standard at Michigan.
Breaking from Casey here, Newberry message board saying they were robbed by the referee. So, and actually I know the star linebacker on the Newberry team, and I did not speak to him personally, but a third party spoke to him on his way up, and they were talking about how much they were going to bundle up, just to your point, Craig. that they were in a totally different world. It's going to be 18 here in the morning, but that's the coldest that we've gotten all year.
It's going to be negative six here tomorrow, so take your 18. And Rob, what's it going to be in San Diego tomorrow? 75?
Probably. It's been a balmy 60 and foggy here lately.
Oh,
but yes,
yeah, poor guy.
Not terrible.
Yeah, we can handle that, Alex. Don't worry about it. Okay, so my other question, as it looks to Ole Miss, obviously you talked a little bit about Golding and what the expectations are in the immediate time. Craig and I are going to pick in our next segment these first round games, and I think that, you know, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I'll spoil it a little bit and say I think that the Rebels are safe as far as my pick goes. We'll see how we go against the spread there, but let's forecast to next year, Alex, and say, you know, is this going to be a long-term investment in the Golding era? Is that something that you can see as speaking for the Ole Miss alums as a whole, what are your thoughts on Golding? Not just right now, because obviously there's business to take care of, but there's always next year.
Right. I'm that Ole Miss fan that will buy any kind of snake oil. I bought the Kiffin snake oil. Thought he was a good friend of mine until recently. So I'm all on board with Pete Golding. And, you know, I hope he wins football games. And I think it shows at Ole Miss, you don't need to win a lot. We're just looking for 13 good weeks of having fun. And that's where I think the Kiffin thing was shocking. We were never asking too much from a head coach perspective. We just wanted to win games, and he was doing that. I'm in the boat that Pete Golding is going to go out and win football games every week for us. And I hope it's a long tenure for him. And I hope it's a successful tenure, and I hope the university can get behind him. Let's build a statue. But, you know, I'll also be the first guy, like the Matt Luke thing. When Matt Luke pops up on my screen, I forget where he's coaching now, but he'll randomly show up at a timeout huddle, and I still freak out. Matt Luke scarred me, and I'm hoping we don't have the same with Pete Golding. But
that's a great comparison. It has a little bit of that feel.
Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Ka'Chava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just 2 scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at ka'chava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's ka'chava, ka'chava.com, code FITNESS.
For that feel, here's Casey again, who's being very active in the chat. And we shout out to you, Casey, for not just being our friend and segment host, but very, very much in the chat box. He reminds
Matt Luke is a stud offensive line coach. He is a stud offensive line coach. He apparently did not want to recruit 24/7 at Georgia. That's why he recruits part-time with Dabo, where like Dabo gets his nights and weekends free or something like that.
You can do that in the ACC and still be good, Craig.
You can do that in the ACC. You can't do that in the SEC. It just means more here.
It just means more over here. Yep, that's absolutely correct. Absolutely correct.
But I think that's what I think this is where Golding can be the differentiator in Oxford. He is a hell of a recruiter. He was one of Nick Saban's top recruiters at Alabama. He has done an excellent job. And there was a quote this week when he was talking about, hey, are you going to do the portal? Are you going to do the high school? He goes, I don't give a damn. I'm just going to get football players. And that's what I love about his attitude. Like, there is a no frills about him. I would say there's zero Fs. We can imagine what the rest of that word is. But it's just kind of like the punch you in your face where it's going to be a different way. Right? Lane was kind of loud and kind of did it with a lot of theatrics. I think Golding just wants to win football games. And so I think that is going to be interesting. And let's be honest, we don't have to worry about what's going on in Starkville. Because, yeah, I mean, it's Jeff Levy. And I'm still waiting on something. By the way, did you see they made a bowl game at 5-7? Are they celebrating that down on the farm?
I did not. I am so behind on the bowl games. Apparently, there was bowl games on yesterday. I just watched Army-Navy, and next thing you know, I saw the L.A. Bowl. You guys were talking about it. I did not know that was even going on.
You could have
yet.
Gotten to L.A. Come on. San Diego to L.A. is like, what, 4 hours?
Only two. I should have been up there. It would have been, what, one of 11 people in attendance?
It would have given you a free ticket, so.
Yeah, hey, exactly.
Gronk was there, and it was actually some impressive football on the part of Washington. So, but the other two games, the other Gronk, it was hosted by Gronk.
Why the hell is he hosting a bowl game?
The official title was the Bucked Up LA Bowl hosted by Gronk. He was on the field. He did intros, met with the teams. They had him in the booth to talk about what his responsibilities were. He was in the parade promoting it, like lots of stuff.
Were there more people in the parade than there were at the bowl game?
Not sure.
Where's your research at? All right, Alex, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How far do your Rebels go in the playoffs? Because we are not going to be friends come New Year's Day when 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Pacific, the Dogs and the Rebels meet in Nolens for the Sugar Bowl.
I mean, we look at
the pause that tells me everything. That's okay.
Yeah, because again, I'll buy anything. I am disgustingly always all in on Ole Miss football. It was a real good game. We chatted about it last time Ole Miss played Georgia in the regular season.
I believe you yelled at me for jinxing them because I'm like, hey, they're playing well. And then you're like, you just jinxed them, Craig.
They stopped playing well after you called me to talk about it. So I think, but there's something special about New Orleans. There's something special about Ole Miss in New Orleans. Always traveling very well to New Orleans. I've been to a few Sugar Bowls in my tenure as a fan and a student.
What's your record?
Anything can happen in the Big Easy. So I think, you know, let's not get overlooked Tulane. I was at the Ole Miss Tulane game 2 years ago where we saw Quinshon Judkins and Dart, and they kind of played us well for a bit. So let's get past Tulane. But I think that Ole Miss Georgia game without Lane Kiffin, it'll be tough. But again, if we can – You love a good team of destiny, and there's no better team of destiny that, you know, was kind of kicked to the curb by their own head coach going into the playoff. And, you know, you can't make Marvel movies forever, so we need a new story. So why not this be the story? Why not the 2025, 2026 Ole Miss Rebels going all the way be the story?
Right. Absolutely love that.
He's putting me on mute on January 1st. He will not be taking my calls on January 1st.
Yeah, absolutely.
We will talk January 2nd, January 3rd.
I love it. Ole Miss team of destiny. The real question, who will Craig really be pulling for? Because we know that his allegiance is fluid. And so there could be a situation where he hops on the bandwagon team of destiny. We're going to get to a break. Alex, thanks for joining us. And also – Look at that mug. Look at him. Here's the thing in the SEC Pretty Guest line here. Alex is with us. Remember that. It is 8:47 here. Alex, if you're going to watch the rest of the show or tune in, or maybe you'll get it on podcast. For those of you who don't know, we are there on podcast, YouTube, X. We're on Twitch, and you can watch us anytime. This next segment is going to be one for you, though, because we're going to pick these first-round games, and I think you'll be pleased with what I have to say about the Rebels and where I see them going in round two. This is SEC Sunday Night. We'll be right back after this.
At TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, we believe true health and peak performance start with personalized care. Whether you're an athlete recovering from injury or just chasing your next personal best, we're here to guide your journey. With expert coaching, hands-on therapy, and transparent cash-based pricing, you get the care you need without the insurance red tape. One client drove 100 miles just to see us and said it was worth every mile. Contact us at trifitperformance.com or 803-353-5619. TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, where recovery meets results.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt Diamaduro's Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt Diamaduros, we're on your team.
ETC is go.
Thank you. Go.
ETC is go.
Copy, S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
FTM is go.
Safety comms is go.
FTU is go.
LRD is go.
FRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
It's SEC Sunday Night, presented by Hewitt Diamaduros. Visit hdlawsc.com. It's go time.
SEC Sunday Night Live on the Chief Sports Network. One thing I want to talk about here, Craig, before we get into our picks, and we're going to queue up the freezing cold takes here in just a minute. We're going to bring Casey back. We're going to pick the first round. I want to do a little projection for the second round. I have a point that we need to stand on. It has been talked about by Mike Morgan, J.C. Sherbert on our sister show here on the Chief Sports Network, College Football Forever with J.C. and Morgan. We're going to get to all of that, get all the stuff that is coming up in those games. But one more thing I want to look back at here, as we have continued to highlight, why do we not talk about the things that happen on the field? We talk so much about coaching changes, about NIL agreements, about transfer portal, about scheduling, about the college football calendar as a whole, about the decisions of the college football playoff committee. But then it just feels lackluster in these types of discussions when we're trying to talk about the games on the field. But I maintain that we show up to talk about the things that matter. College football is a sport that is rooted in tradition. We need bowl season. We need college football conference championships because slowly but surely things are slipping out of our hands. And you and I split coverage of the Heisman Trophy this year. And what is more prestigious and traditional and rooted in the heart and soul of college football than the Heisman Trophy?
Well, I think we have a problem, Rob.
Yes, Greg.
You've said it. It's the calendar. We had a bunch of awards come out this week, and our guy Tony Siragusa was at all of them. He's looking good in the tux, looking good in the bow tie. Is it the right time for these awards? These awards are supposed to be a culmination of the season. And we had Army-Navy on Saturday.
It was a phenomenal game, by the way. Just fantastic football game.
It was great to watch. But we also had a bowl game on at the exact same time. At the same time as the Heisman.
Yep.
So, like, I think that this goes back to the question of, like, I think for this show, we are worried about the play on the field, but because we have an hour and a half or so
ish,
we think about, you know, what are those storylines from the week? Sometimes that involves the field. Sometimes that involves Brian Kelly getting fired. Sometimes that involves Lane Kiffin getting fired. And when I look at the Heisman, there was no storyline this year. It was hard.
Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Ka'Chava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your back stock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just 2 scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at ka'chava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's Kachava, KACHAVA.com, code fitness.
Like, you know, you and I both read, you know, we wrote did it that.
Every single week.
We wrote it every single week.
We would know more than anyone what the storyline was like and how difficult it was. The only people I can think of that are better at formulating a clear argument for something are Brad Hewitt and Dean Domodurus. You should call them if you need them, by the way. HDLawSC.com, proudly presenting SEC Sunday Night. It's Hewitt Domodurus Law. But behind them, it's you and me making an argument for the Heisman because yep. It is slipping day by day from our fingertips, as are many of the traditions of college football. Is it time, Craig, that we just step back and accept that there's going to be some changes and just enjoy and revel in the things that we love while we still have them? I feel almost like I need to just really make some extra time in my schedule for bowl season this year, because what if this is the last one that we have? I feel like I need to just soak it all in while we've got it.
I think what's going to happen is we're always going to have bowl season, because what we do see is TV viewership is there no matter what it is, whether it's that bowl that used to be. Remember that bowl that used to be in Tampa Bay? God, that was a terrible, like, just a terrible look, terrible feel. But the ratings work. And I think what's going to happen is the same thing you saw in the 2020 season with COVID, where basically if you had a pulse and you wanted to play, you could play in a bowl game. We have a lot of 5-7 teams coming in there. We've seen a lot of the coaching staffs. I think, Baylor has checked out. I guess Notre Dame, from what I've heard, has checked out of the bowl season. I heard rumors there. I think the bowl games are always going to be there, and I think they're important. Our guy Drew Crabtree had a really cool, like, we did a pick'em segment with our writers. Our family used to always do that too. Like we always would have like the bowl picks and we're just picking those games, but it's just fun to watch, because think about it. I'm out of school come Friday afternoon. I am looking forward to just being off for like 2 weeks. I can turn on the bowl games. It doesn't matter if it's 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock on a Tuesday, we've got a bowl game there. It doesn't matter if it's the MAC versus the Fun Belt, it's there. I think it's going to be there, but I do think for these awards, and I know Tony's going to yell at me for this, December is not the right timeline. It's the same reason why the SEC shouldn't have on Tuesday night released the 2026 schedule. That should have been a February thing so we could actually talk about that. Because speaking of which, we really didn't talk much about it. Now, let's be honest. It wasn't great. And the SEC Network did like about a half-hour show. It was not a good look. But you look at the Heisman Trophy this year, Mendoza was always there. Julian Sain was sort of there. Like it kind of felt to me, we know somebody from Ohio State was there, was going to be there. Ty Simpson fell off. He had a couple of, you know, really, really good moments. He looked really good during the middle of the season.
As you're doing this, Craig, I'm going to throw up the votes because that'll help us kind of break it down.
Yeah, but like Jeremiah Love was great, but like, so here's my question. Fernando Mendoza, you look at that, oh my God, he blew him away. Were Heisman voters actually voting for Fernando Mendoza, or were they voting for Indiana because Indiana is such a feel-good story? And I'm going to say it was probably more Indiana, because you have Indiana and Vanderbilt 1-2.
Here's the thing. I looked deep into these numbers towards the end of the year and really try. And, you know, you wrote this column the first half of the season. I wrote it the second half of the season. And I was really trying to break down how we're getting here, because first of all, the statistics for all of these players were subpar in comparison to past Heisman winners. We did not have statistical anomalies with any of these guys where they were hitting this top tier number. There were no records broken. In fact, it was almost the opposite. We were way below the average line here. Jeremiah Love had good stats as a running back, over 1,300 yards, and then he caught a couple hundred more. But it just did not amount to what we've seen on the ground in the past. We know this has become a quarterback award. And so you look at the top quarterbacks here, Julian Sain makes the trip to New York. I'm just going to say it, his statistics, they're fine, but they're comparable to Arch Manning's statistics. Like if that's what we're running on, then that becomes an issue. So we also have the idea that you have to be a contender for the college football playoff unless you have something that makes you just stand out above all the rest. Obviously, Travis Hunter won this award last year without Colorado being in contention for the college football playoff, real contention. We saw them make a push at the end of the year, but that is what it is. But Travis Hunter was a different type of athlete, and he just stood out amongst the crowd. Ashton Genty came in second. Boise was the G5 rep in the college football playoff. The other one that I can think of in recent history would be Jaden Daniels. But again, just statistically blowing things away.
Right.
In this case, you're right. You have a feel-good story of Indiana. Fernando Mendoza is the quarterback. Vanderbilt right there at the line, but not a real contender for the college football playoff as we got towards the end. They weren't even mentioned in the arguments in the last week. Okay. We talked about Miami. We talked about Notre Dame. We talked about Alabama. We talked about BYU even. We did not talk about Vanderbilt. We talked about them in weeks leading up because they're a two-loss SEC team, but they faded out even though Diego Pavia continued to have the most staggering numbers, to be fair. Fernando Mendoza threw for 2,980 yards and 30 touchdowns. Diego Pavia threw for over 3,000 yards and 27 touchdowns and added over 800 yards on the ground, making his total over 4,000 yards as a contributor overall to that offense.
Can I say something real quick? Diego Pavia is like, if I'm tired of a story, I can poke and I can make fun about Notre Dame, whatever like that. I am so over Diego Pavia. He's a nice player. It's fun. It's exciting. But the guy, like, I think is just in love with himself, and Theo Vaughn's in love with him. And you know, that's its own thing.
Well, but I don't think he's going anywhere. Unfortunately for you.
Where's he going? Is he going to be on SEC Network? Is he going to be on the SEC Network?
No, he's going to be in this space that we're in right now. That's where he's going. He's going to try his hand at the NFL.
I will continue not to tune in, but here's the thing that I really can't stand. Post a picture with his family, and on Instagram he puts a story out there saying, F the Heisman voters, all about his family. Like, I'm sorry, but like, if we're going to be all warm and fuzzy about what the Heisman Trophy is and what that is, I'm really glad he only got, you know, he got smoked the way he did, because he didn't really deserve it. But like, he was a flashy player. He was a lot of fun, but I worry about him burning out just like Johnny Manziel burned out, because it's way too much.
Well, you think he learned something from Manziel, and we're going to say this, and then we'll pick some games here.
Yeah.
Let me just ask this question. If it's you, who are your top three? That you're voting for. If you're giving me just a top three, because that's kind of how we see it, first, second, and third, who would have been on your ballot if you had one?
Jacob Rodriguez, Haynes King, and Gunnar Stockton.
Okay.
Rodriguez statistically had the best year as a linebacker in basically a historic season. And the fact he wasn't invited, because again, this is where I also have a problem with the Heisman Trophy. We only bring in so many people. What does it matter if you bring in all 10? Because here's the other problem with this voting. Where is the West Coast at? It is not representative here. Or, you know, Dante Moore was in there for a little bit. There's no one at UCLA. There's no one west of the Mississippi really here. Arch Manning isn't there. Jacob Rodriguez, west of the Mississippi. But there's no one on the West Coast. This is not very representative. It shows the dominance of the Big Ten and the SEC and how much this sport has gone to the East Coast and the Southeast.
Well, that is exactly why we're here, my friend.
It is.
Because it just means more. And once again, this area tends to dominate. Again, just for clarity, you said Rodriguez, King, Stockton, correct?
Stockton, correct. Correct. Fernando Mendoza, we needed to pick somebody from Indiana because it was a cute story. I don't think he did anything statistically overwhelming to do that. What was the score of the Big Ten game? 13-10? And yeah,
That's not a Heisman moment. I don't care what anybody says. No. That you did not have a Heisman moment there. His Heisman moment was the comeback. And that was the most clear-cut moment I think that we had all year. The throw at the end of the game, because that's very clutch. Heisman moments have to burn into your brain, and that one does. But
you should have multiple. You should have multiple.
Not the Big Ten championship.
No, he looked horrible in Iowa City against the Hawkeyes. So
if there's a Heisman moment from all of your memory, any year that stands out in your mind, what's the first one that comes to your mind?
It's Charles Woodson, that one-handed interception where he's like grabbing it up here, grabs that interception. To me, Charles Woodson was that differentiator. And I know he didn't play for the New England Patriots, so he probably wasn't on your number one list. But to it's always Charles Woodson.
The one that sticks out to me is the Manziel spin out of traffic in the backfield and flinging it in Tuscaloosa for the touchdown against Alabama. That one will forever be burned into my head. All right, Craig.
You were probably in diapers when Charles Woodson made that interception, so let's be fair.
That's also actually accurate. Okay. Let's do what we're here to do, right? We've got four games this week. Let me say this for everybody who's here listening. We're going to be on the air on Friday and Saturday.
Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Ka'Chava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just two scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just two scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at ka'chava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's ka'chava, ka'chava.com, code FITNESS.
Make sure that you're tuned in with us. In addition to our normal Sunday broadcast, we're going to have some fun with some friends Friday leading into that evening game between Alabama and Oklahoma. And then on Saturday morning, we'll recap it and we'll look across the day to see how things are going to pan out. So we'll be right here available for you guys, breaking down those playoff games with a little bit of extra time. So not just SEC Sunday night, this upcoming weekend, we're going to have 3 days. 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, with a little bit of action for you on each and every day. So that we can really drive into the playoff. Yeah, grab your coffee. All right, Craig, we got four games to look at. Next weekend, we'll look at the five bowl games. We have five bowl games to watch in the SEC that are non-playoff games. We're not going to look at those tonight. We're just going to look at the four first-round playoff games because they're coming up. Let's begin with, I think, what is the most obvious pick. James Madison is a 21.5-point dog at Oregon. We're picking here against the spread. Do the Dukes
cover? Why are we picking against the spread? We haven't picked against the spread all year.
Because it's too easy to pick Oregon and Ole Miss over G5 teams. Am I wrong?
I don't know. Billy Napier is going to be on the sideline. And Billy Napier once said, scared money.
Don't make money. All right.
Don't make money.
We have to I think Dan Lanning probably it has confidence.
Will he put up like 63 in this one? Is he going to win like 63-7?
Well, you tell me. Does James Madison cover 21.5?
No.
In Eugene?
No. I think Eugene is going to be rocking. Shout out to our good friend Emily Taylor. I will be rocking my Go Dogs Cup all next weekend on the show. No, I think Oregon absolutely hammers James Madison. Bob Chesney's already thinking about, you know, Westwood. Billy Napier's there. They're thinking that's a good hire. I'm not really sure what they were thinking there. They apparently didn't want their coach to get poached again, so. No, I think the Ducks absolutely smash James Madison.
I kind of agree with this one. I don't think this one's that close. I think I can see something like 24 points, maybe like a 34-10 type of game, because I think Lanning may throttle down, because I think this one's going to get – I think this can be like a 28-0 or a 27-3 early, like second quarter type of deal, and then you're just throttling down and running the ball. And on the opposite side of that, I think James Madison's going to have to try to chunk it around a little bit, which may not end well, because I think that while we've seen this James Madison team be competitive,
mm-hmm.
and you know, Josh Pate said it's a bad argument to say that we don't want G5s in the college football playoff because they might not be able to be competitive. And I agree with that, because the one time somebody has a one-score game in the fourth quarter, that argument's blown away. Yep. And is it possible for this next game we're going to talk about to be a one-score game in the fourth quarter? Yes. However, I don't know about the personnel on a Dan Lanning defense against an offensive line at James Madison. We know that football games are won in the trenches. Let's go back to basics. When I think about Dan Lanning, I think about defense. I think a little exotic at times. I think he's going to send something every now and then. And if you're dropping back to pass a lot because you're behind to an Oregon offense that's put up some points early in the game, I think you're setting yourself up for a kill from the mind of one Dan Lanning. So,
I'm going to counter your throttling argument. I think Oregon's going to take a page out of Ohio State's book from last year, where Ohio State absolutely smacked Tennessee. I think you go and make a statement, because what you want to do is you want to get your team feeling really good and ready to go as you go into the Rose Bowl again for a second straight year against the Big Ten champion. And this time you go and you smack them, you return that favor.
Okay. I want to talk about second round here as we close out, but let's go along with our games here for just a moment. Sure. Tulane, round two in Oxford, 17.5 point favorite. I mean, dogs to the Rebels, which we've talked ad nauseum, right? This is Pete Golding. We got Charlie Weiss Jr. back. He brings back a lot of the offensive staff. So you're going to kind of keep that offensive groove together other than the mastermind. How much does it matter that Lane Kiffin is not there? How much of the focus can this Rebels team maintain? Trinidad Chambliss says we have a game to worry about. We're not distracted.
Yep.
Let's go ahead and call BS, because it's impossible not to be a little bit distracted. But I think there's some juice, no pun intended, for this Rebels football team because they rally around Pete Golding. Yep. Do they have the game day magic with Charlie Weiss calling the offense that they have had with Lane Kiffin? That's the only question mark for me.
You're not even going to talk about Tulane.
I'm about to right here.
Okay,
good. I think Tulane covers. I think this is like a 14-point game. They're 17.5
point distraction? What about the distraction of John Summerall? Like, he posted that weird pick this week of, like, the house divided. I've got Tulane and I've got the Florida. I'm working two phones and I've only slept 2 hours. Like, I wonder about where he's at and then where the team's at with Tulane.
I'd be more worried about him than the team, which is a little concerning.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think it's really hard to balance. And yeah, I guess it's commendable that he stayed with the team and Tulane allowed him to stay with the team. I just, again, like we talked with Alex about, I see Golding as like this ultimate motivator. He doesn't say a lot, but when he says something, you really feel it. And I could see some big like FU energy to Lane Kiffin and him riling up the boys. And this, you know, I think the Vought is going to be loud. The Grove is going to be rocking. I believe Joy is going to be in Oxford next week. I think SEC Pretty is going to have a phenomenal time in Oxford. But I think the Vault will be rocking. I think it's going to be very chaotic. And I do see Ole Miss covering this one, taking care of business. I don't think it's going to be 34-0 again, but I could see something like a 34-10, something like that, still covering that 17.5 point spread.
Write it down, friends. We both have Oregon covering the 21.5, and then a split here, the game in Oxford. As I said, Tulane will cover. Craig thinks that Ole Miss will cover the 17.5. All right, now let's get interesting, because this noon game on Saturday I think is the most intriguing matchup because it has the most possible scenarios of any of these games. Miami at Texas A&M has more unpredictable variables than any of the other three games. I know that you feel some type of way about both of these teams, but you cannot disagree with me that this one is the most unpredictable. Texas A&M comes in a 3.5 point favorite at home. Obviously, an historic season in the SEC for the Aggies. But what do we know? We've said it all year. What do we know about these teams? what do we really know? We said, Craig, in week two and week four and week six. Here we are, and it's the college football playoff. And I still will say, what do we know? Do we have enough data points to really predict Texas A&M and Miami? I don't think that we do. I think that Carson Beck could come in on one end of the spectrum or the other. He throws four touchdowns or three interceptions. There's not a whole lot of in between. The Texas A&M defense pitches a shutout or gives up 40. You know, like we just don't really know. Do you get Texas A&M first half against South Carolina or second half against South Carolina? Do you get Texas A&M against Arkansas and Notre Dame or against, honestly, the vast majority of their other opponents?
Right.
Which one is it? I think Marcel Reed is a streaky player as well. And as much as we've seen big moments from him, he doesn't make mistakes that like jump off the page because they're major turnovers. He just misses throws. And it's like what if moments that fade into oblivion and we never think about them again, but they were game changing plays and you miss that guy for a first down on 3rd and 8. What do you think? What's happening here? Again, Texas A&M 3.5-point favorites hosting Miami. How is this one going down?
I hate to say it, but I'm going to say you down, baby. I'm going to say that the Aggies and Kyle Field are going to be rocking. And if we know anything about Carson Beck, that when he has to play a big game, especially on the road, that's when the interceptions and the problems happen. I also am going to throw in the Mario Cristobal factor of just something weird happening and making a mistake. We don't know a ton about Texas A&M, but I do know the fact is that they beat Notre Dame, who didn't get in the playoff. So Texas A&M will show, and I will say they will comfortably cover this game. I'm thinking 10 points, at least 10 to 12 points to cover this game against Miami, sending the Hurricanes and the ACC back crying to Coral Gables.
You know what, my friend? I'm going to agree perfectly with you on that. I think 10 points sounds about right for me as well, and I'm going to go with the Aggies. I think that this game in Kyle Field just becomes too much.
Yep.
You know, when I look at these two teams, as unpredictable as they are, we have to get into the matchups a little bit, and that, again, starts in the trenches for me. But then we're going to look at the quarterback position next. Who is the most trustworthy and who has the most clutch gene in them?
Yep.
Carson Beck, I think, has a better overall career when you look at the numbers. But Marcel Reed is a very clutch player. And hosting a home playoff game and having pressure on you, pressure has not been a friend to Carson Beck. And no. So I think that the one that pressure creates a diamond out of is Marcel Reed, and we see the Aggies prevail.
Is that going to be a fun one? Fun though for the folks on College Station. They finally,
no doubt. 13 years
later, they still haven't made it to Atlanta yet, but they get to host that playoff game. I think that'll be rocking. The Vault will be rocking. And I think we have one more Big 12. SEC team to cover.
We have one more. Alabama, a 1.5-point favorite, going back to Norman, Oklahoma. I'll just start on this one. I think that turnovers were a problem for the Tide last time in Norman. This game is on Friday night. We're going to talk about it ad nauseum. We're going to be back with you on Friday to really break this one down. We're going to have some exclusive time to sit with this matchup on Friday before the game, because we'll be back then again on Saturday to look at the other three. Okay, so Friday gets really in on this SEC-SEC matchup. We have a rematch, of course. Last time they played in this game, Ty Simpson turned the ball over a couple of times in a couple of different ways. I don't foresee that happening on a regular basis. We also know that he just turned it over a couple of times against Georgia in the SEC championship game. He's kind of cooled down. We mentioned this in the Heisman discussion. He hasn't looked as good. I do not see him being reckless with the football and turning it over here in this game. I think the receivers are too good if they can get loose. I think that Alabama wins this football game, and 1.5 is essentially telling us it's a pick 'em and we need to pick a winner. Roll Tide. What do you think?
Oklahoma's offense is broken, and cannot get out of its own damn way. It couldn't get out of a wet paper bag for all they know. So I expect Alabama to come up big, because what are we all hearing? Oh my gosh, Alabama's toast. Alabama's done. Their offense is no good. They lost to Georgia. The sky is falling. I expect Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb to put on a masterclass, and I think they're going to pick apart the Oklahoma defense, and I think the Sooner Stadium is going to be empty come the fourth quarter, because I think the Tide are going to win this one big.
Yeah, I would honestly, just for the pure chaotic meltdown miss, I would love that. I would love that. I do. I think that
does Brent Venerable have questions then afterward? Does he have questions?
No.
He's all set.
I don't think so. You made the playoff. I think he's well within the good graces, and he's safe. However, I just put it out on X, which message board is most likely to melt down this week. If Alabama loses, I say it's that one. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to put my money on Miami's being the most likely to melt down, because if they get smacked in College Station, then there's going to be a lot of questions around Mario Cristobal. I don't think that there's questions with Venables. However, message boards are wild. So if Alabama wins, there will be somebody, and we will highlight it next week here on SEC Sunday Night. There will be somebody on that Oklahoma board that says something crazy, but I think overall that will not be a representation of the fan base at large. Okay, one question before we get out of here, Craig.
Yep.
Last year, all four teams that got a bye lost that next game. Are we giving too much time in this layoff? It is the general question, but as we narrow in, we have Indiana, Ohio State, Georgia, Texas Tech. Who is most likely to lose in that second round game out of those teams getting a bye?
Texas Tech. And it's not because of a bye, and it's not because of my Big 12 bias, Andrew McCleary. So hold your button and getting all upset. It's Texas Tech's inability to score inside the red zone that may prove most problematic. To answer your first question, there is no reason why these first round games should have been played this weekend. Yeah, I get Army Navy wants to be on its own and they want to do the Heisman on their own. Forget that. We need to get this season and this calendar wrapped up. Right after the conference championship games, you go and you play your first round games. Quarterfinals are next week. Play the semifinals the weekend after. January 1st, we crown ourselves a champion and call it a day.
Can we just go to 16 and then eliminate byes and give the top four are going to be your home teams? Like, can we just give conference champs home games, or the top four seeds home games, or however we want to reward that?
First two. Because what if you do the first 2 weeks? First two games, the first round and then the quarterfinals are all at home. And then you just play the semis and the finals at both sites.
Do you agree with me that we should not have bye weeks if we go to 16? They'll have to work out something funky if that's the case. Why don't I just want to play? I want to play it straight up. 1 versus 16, 2 versus 15, 3 versus 14.
So you're playing 17 straight weeks then? So say you're Georgia and hypothetically.
No, I say you take this week off that we just took off and then start next week and roll. So everybody will get one bye week. I think one bye week is fine.
Yeah, one bye week is good.
The whole field gets a bye week to recoup and get ready, and then you play it out.
I think that's fine. I
don't want 1 through 4 with another bye week.
No.
And then we're playing 5 versus 16 and 6 versus 15. No. I don't want that crap. That's going to get too funky. 16 is a good number because it's a good number for – it's because it's divisible. That's why everything else does 16. This is not a unique take. JC has said it on JC and Morgan. Mike Morgan has said it. I think JB has said it on Inside the Gamecocks. Everybody here on the network, I think, is in agreement. Go to 16, play it straight up.
And kiss the SEC championship goodbye.
I agree with you. Texas Tech is the most likely to lose.
You don't even want to go there, do you?
Well, we already talked about it. And I think you're right. And I think it's realistic.
Yeah.
I just don't know. We'll see.
I think Indiana gets knocked out too, because to be honest, like, theoretically, like, you could see Oregon coming in and smashing Indiana, just like Ohio State did Oregon last year. I think
Isn't it Oregon, Texas Tech? Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It is for whatever reason I had Oregon as the 8-9 game, and it is not correct.
Here's the thing about Indiana and Ohio State. They're gonna get the still the better matchup, I think, because don't you get Georgia, Ole Miss round two?
Yeah, Georgia Ole Miss round two.
Watch out for that one, Craig, because this Georgia team is built on defense. The defense is coming up. Blue collar on offense. We don't know what we're getting from this Ole Miss football team. If they can still score without Lane Kiffin, that was going to get real dicey.
Have you seen Kirby Smart in press conferences? Have you seen his look? He is locked in.
Don't let him get cold. A month off will do a lot of things to you.
No, he is not going to get cold. So, listen, I have a lot of confidence in who and what Georgia is right now as a team. I think they are as dangerous as anybody else. I will gladly take them against Ohio State if that's what it's going to be in the semifinals. Georgia is my pick to win the national championship this year.
You know, we'll get to this, and it's time to get out of here, but Ohio State, Texas A&M, if that's the matchup, is pretty interesting to me too. Because if you have a hot Texas A&M team that's right, playing the type of defense that we've seen them play, we just saw what happened to Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship. If you can limit them to under 20 points, all bets are off. We don't really know what that would look like, because I don't know that we have enough data points, and you're going to get a month off from the Buckeyes. And what if they get cold? You are running a redshirt freshman quarterback out there.
Right. Isn't that the weird thing too? Like, as much as I hate to say that, and goes counter to what we just picked when we talked about Texas A&M and Miami, but both Texas A&M and Miami offensively, and we could make a case defensively, could this find themselves
many variables.
Right. There's just so many variables, but you could see them finding a way in that, you know, they win that first round, they catch Ohio State in the right way. God help Ryan Day if that happens, but they could be in the semifinals, no problem.
All right, this has been SEC Sunday Night. We got our picks in. We're ready for it. We'll be back on Friday. Back on Friday for you Gamecock fans out there. I will be on Inside the Gamecocks, the morning show Wednesday and Thursday. Craig and I and friends will be back on Friday and Saturday and next Sunday. It's college football playoff time, and this is SEC Sunday Night. Shout out to Alex and, of course, Casey Cregan. As always, we are brought to you proudly by Hewitt Domodaros Law, HD Law. SC.com. We will see you next weekend.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their game time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.